It's optional. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're good out there enjoying the beautiful day that is Knoxville, Tennessee. The sun is finally out. And I don't remember if the sun was out yesterday or not, but it is out today. I am excited.
It's not any warmer, though.
No, it's still cold.
Yeah, dude.
It is what it is.
It's that faux sun.
Right. I have some weird pictures, some like ribs or something on my...
What is that?
I don't know. I don't want to talk about it. So today, glad we're here. Chance Collins to my right, Brandon Johns to my front, as Brandon switches out chairs because he is not satisfied with what is going on.
It's a bad chair over there. I understand that. Sitting in a producer's chair for quite many years, and you have to have either a stool or a high-positioning chair because I saw how he was doing. He was sitting real low, and it's not good.
Okay.
Luckily, he's tall enough.
That makes sense. He is tall enough. Packed show today, and sometimes, you know what, sometimes you get guys on at the last minute, and we are thankful for this. Okay, rundown. Nick Bromberg is going to join us right at 1:15 today.
That's what's up.
We know Nick. We're going to talk national sports, college, might even throw a bit of NASCAR in there right towards the end.
NASCAR, the season started back up, didn't it?
No, we have the Rolex 24 is going to start here soon. Okay. But we got like,
I know it's coming. I know it's coming.
Like 2.5 weeks.
I love NASCAR.
So, what we have done today is, I am excited to have him on. Rick Barnes has been talking about Kevin Punter and how he was the first one to buy into the program years ago when he stepped foot on campus, when Rick Barnes did, and how much he meant to those squads. Kevin Punter is going to join us today at 1:40. I look forward to having him on. This should be a fantastic interview about his time in Knoxville, everything that it meant to him, how he bought into the Rick Barnes system. He's going to join us today in 1:40. I'm excited to have him. And then, I told you it was packed, 2:15, Chris Lee from VandySports.com, one of my best friends in Nashville, is going to join us. We are going to talk. We're going to break down Vanderbilt, Tennessee, tomorrow night. I will get on the road later this afternoon, get on over there to Nashville, and I'm excited for this matchup because I don't really think there is one correlation. The Tennessee gets number one, and then all of a sudden they have to go play Vanderbilt. But there's not much to think about this. This game should not be close. I mean, there's a reason why it's a 13-15 point spread. This ball game should not be close, but you just never know. Vanderbilt does have a few scores on their team. I know they're 0-5 in the SEC right now, but just don't put anything crazy past Vanderbilt and pulling off some kind of miraculous game where they're in it, you know, later on down it. So he's going to join us today. I'm excited. Packed show. So I put out a tweet, and this tweet was, and a lot of people have been putting it out there the last 2 days. And I was like, I'll join in on this. I said, what's the most gut-wrenching loss you've ever experienced or watched?
Okay.
So we'll start off with you two before we get into the craziness that's going on in New Orleans and everywhere else. It doesn't even have to be like Tennessee Athletics.
No, no, no. I understand. Most gut-wrenching, probably number one for me, and although I've strayed away as not as big of a Titans fan as I once was, and it was because when my mother was alive, she was a huge Titans fan. She was a season ticket holder, and so we went to a lot of games when I lived back home, and then when I moved to Knoxville, didn't go to as many. But probably the Super Bowl for the Titans, the 1 yard short. Didn't go to the Super Bowl, but was at home watching that big Super Bowl party at the house, a lot of family. I felt like that was a really tough one. That one still haunts a lot of Titans fans and fans of here, you know, Tennessee sports in general. That was a tough one for me. I felt like that was a really big one.
Brandon, do you have any gut wrenching losses that you can think of? Anything at Maryville? Did you ever lose a game at Maryville?
Yeah, my junior year,
we lost a game.
Yeah, but I mean, that one was tough. But they were better than us that year, so.
Really? Okay. That's the gut wrench loss for you?
No. Okay, you asked me two questions.
Okay.
I answered your first.
Don't get smart. God, here we go. Okay.
And I'm moving on to your next.
Okay. Move on to the next now.
Probably down at Florida, going up 26-14 and then choosing to kick the extra point and then giving up a 4th and 14 and losing to Florida 28-27.
Will Grier.
Yep. That was probably it. Butch Jones.
That was the one?
Yeah, that's probably the most gut-wrenching because not only did we lose in a heartbreaking way, we lost because gross incompetence on the coaching staff.
So the responses to these are fantastic. You can call in as well and discuss this before we have Nick Bromberg on at 115-865-546-8200. Some people are throwing out the 2001 SEC Championship game. Danny Ocean says, did not get out of bed that Sunday, then poisoned my body to try and numb the pain. It did not work.
07 SEC Championship game was pretty rough, too. Eric Ainge throwing a touchdown pass to LSU cornerback Jonathan Zenon. Never forget.
Oh, here's a good one. Yeah, that was a good one, actually. Here's a good one from Brent Grimms. Grimms VFL. I was 10 years old living in upstate New York when Joe Carter hit the World Series clinching home run in Game 6. I had tickets to Game 7 the next day. That's pretty rough. Yeah, that was rough. Let's see. One more we'll throw out there. 2011 AFC Championship game. Lee Evans, Billy Cundiff. Need I say more? You don't need to say more on that one.
Oh, Cody Parkey.
Yep.
That was pretty miserable, too.
Yep, yep.
And what really rubs it in is the fact he went on Good Morning America. Just haven't. When did we become a world of kicker apologist?
Yeah, I don't know.
We used to make fun of them and just not be fans of them. But now it's like the cool thing is to feel sorry for them for not doing the one thing their job requires them to do. Anyway, I digress.
No, and then I want to throw one more in there that I thought was pretty interesting because I was pretty sickened when that happened. And that was when Anderson Silva fought Chris Weidman and he snapped his leg.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad. That's like a walk-off. Nasty. Pretty bad type thing. So a bunch of responses coming in. We appreciate everybody. Getting involved in that. And Andy Jeffers, my buddy Andy Jeffers, comes in from the Vol Network and SES Entertainment. He says, the Cubs-Bartman game or the Vols 2001 Georgia game. Was it the 2001 Georgia game when they ran the hobnail boot?
Was that 2001?
And Green was the quarterback?
Yeah. I remember David Green. Yeah. I also remember Tennessee fumbling on, like, the 1 yard line and it getting run back 99 yards. I don't remember if that was 2001 or, like, 2004.
Okay.
Against Georgia. Either way, that was pretty depressing.
Makes sense. Okay, what kind of night did you guys have? Brandon, did you watch your stupid Temptation Island last night? Was it on?
Missed it last night. I don't think it was on. I think it's Tuesdays.
Well, that was a replay.
Tuesdays.
Didn't watch any Temptation Island.
No. I did not watch. I don't think it was on. Almost 100% sure it's on Tuesdays.
Well, it was on something last night because I ran past it.
I mean, they're probably just trying to build you up for, you know.
Maybe you just saw like a teaser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a replay of episode one.
It could have been a replay of episode one.
Okay if you like the show, Trey.
No.
Trey does like the show. He texted me this weekend and said he was watching Temptation.
I think last week I texted you.
You a Bachelor fan, Bachelorette?
I'm a big Bachelor fan.
I don't know.
You don't know if you are? I mean, you know if you are, Trey.
But I know what goes on behind the scenes, so it's like...
Well, yeah, everybody knows it's scripted, but it's for entertaining
purposes.
But
like, it's really scripted. Like, it was...
How dare you? It's reality television.
Producers, it's so real.
Telling women what to do.
Take that back now.
I know. That was bad.
What's better, The Bachelor or The Bachelorette?
Oh. What was that?
It was my like eardrums rupturing.
Yeah. What was that?
That was a thinking part. I'll go with The Bachelor. I can't believe we're talking
about. I agree. Because
They're both equally pretty funny. The Bachelor, probably because women get a little bit more, shall I say, catty, and like they there's a little bit more drama. But the guys like get real drunk and stupid and want to fight each other too. So it's really good, like from both sides, because you got a bunch of meatheads, some of them, and then like you know, just like there's always some drama with the dudes too. But probably The Bachelor. The Bachelor.
Okay, that makes sense. No, definitely. It does. There's a couple questions, you know, right off the bat. you know, that I wanted to get into.
And, you know what I did watch last night? I watched a little NBA. Then I watched the 2020 special of Tammy Faye Baker and Jim Baker. I think that was his name.
The hell is that?
The evangelist. Televangelist.
Oh, yeah.
Went to
That's a whole nother story. Them con artists, they are con artists.
Oh, yeah.
All of them are. Trying to, like, the Lord wants me to get a $60 million jet. Mm-hmm. Oh, does he really?
Tread lightly.
No. I've watched so many documentaries on this mess. You know, whatever. Okay, just take me to break, Brandon.
At least we're in a cinder block building. Yeah, I mean, lightning bolts come crashing through.
Don't get me started on this and their G5s that they need.
G5. Because there's too many dollar.
Because there's too many demons inside the tube. That was Kenneth Copeland. All right, take me to break. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville and Nick Bromberg is going to join us next. We continue to roll on. It's optional Fox Sports Knoxville rolling along here in this first hour. It's Tuesday. That means one thing. Our man from Yahoo Sports is going to join us now. Mr. Nick Bromberg, formerly known as Dr. Saturday, joins us. Good afternoon, Nick.
What's up?
How are you, buddy?
Hey, you know, living in the land of the overtime hot takes here.
No, man, what? Okay. First impressions from you when you heard today that somebody in New Orleans is filing a lawsuit to try to go back and replay the game.
It's just like the sports book that announced, was it late Sunday night or Monday morning, that they were refunding all the money, or giving, paying out all the New Orleans bets that were made on Sunday. You know, it's publicity, you know, and it's not going to go anywhere. And I've been spending the last like 10 minutes just wandering around the internet here. I'm reading his letter right now. There is no, in the letter he has, it doesn't say where this is going to be filed. So I'm kind of hoping this is going to be filed in federal court and not state court here, and then it actually goes nowhere because the government is shut down right now.
Oh, I didn't think about it like that. That's a good point. And then you've got some car salesman is throwing up billboards all over the Southeast, you know, talking about the Saints got robbed, which they did. Let's be honest with each other here. They did on that play.
Right, but they're not the first. They're not the first team to get robbed.
Right.
That's the thing here. We all want to get angry about blown calls in sports, but I think we also still have to accept that for as long as we've lived, blown calls have been a part of sports. It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal for Saints fans that they're the ones on the receiving end of this.
Hey, what did you think of the game Saturdays? Both of them. I mean, the Saints and the Rams. That was a fun one. The controversy struck right there at the end, where you know if they do throw that PI call. The Saints have it first and goal. They'll just run it two times and then kick a field goal to probably win the ball game. I'd love your opinion on that game. And then the craziness that we saw in Kansas City between Mahomes and Brady.
So the story of the first game, first off, the Rams did a fantastic job of shutting down the Saints running game. And I think this was – I'm not going to the extreme in saying Drew Brees is washed up. He's not. He's still a fantastic quarterback, but right. I think this was the proof that Drew Brees is not going to carry a team on his own anymore, just because you look at how the Saints offense has been structured all year long with Kamara and Ingram being the focal points. And, you know, Drew Brees had a horrible underthrow on a deep ball he had. I mean, you can play just like the Patriots have done with Tom Brady and running the ball with Sonny Michel, just like they did Sunday night. Brees can be a functional and a top 10, top 5 NFL quarterback within the confines of Sean Payton's offense for the next 3 or 4 years or however long he ends up wanting to play. But I think we showed just how far we are away from, you know, Drew Brees lighting up the league and throwing 600 and some passes or whatever it was that he did a couple years ago and set the attempts record. I think we're really far away from those days of Saints football now.
And then you look at Mahomes and Brady, man, where it just I thought Patrick had an interesting day himself. I thought he played pretty decent at times, and he was hitting throws. But then, man, you give the ball back to Brady with that much time left and then let them score and then things continue to go back and forth. I mean, was there ever a doubt in your mind that the Patriots were going to somehow pull that game off?
Yes. I'll take that back.
At what
there
point?
Was that there was that 3-second moment I had of elation after when Traverius Ward catches the ball off of Rob Gronkowski's fingertips.
Yes.
And you see the yellow flag graphic on the ticker there, and Dee Ford is lined up offside. So after that, it went, all right, even if the Chiefs kick the field goal here, it's going to come down to the coin toss. And this is the problem here. I'm living in this reactionary world right now where everybody in Kansas City wants to change the overtime rule. And it's a flawed system. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and defend the NFL's overtime. But at the same time, you know, you look at this Patriots offense, converted 3 3rd and 10s in overtime. The Chiefs should have stopped at least one of them. You stop one of them, you get the Patriots off the field, or at worst, they're kicking a field goal, and you have the ball with a chance to tie the game or win it with a touchdown. So, you know, you can look at the offside penalty, you can look at the way they defended overtime, but also the Chiefs just got flat mauled up front by the Patriots. The Patriots just gave the ball to Sony Michel and Rex Burkhead and said, here, run up the middle, run off tackle, and they kept gashing the Chiefs. And you know, Mahomes, he said in the locker room at halftime, he told guys, according to Therese Paylor, hey, we're going out and score 30. They scored 31. And what happened? They become the first home team, I believe, in the NFL Conference Championship era to score 31 points at home, not turn the ball over, and still lose the football game.
Nick, talk about, you know, the Patriots, and you know, Trey said it like, you know, did you have any doubt that they were going to win the game? Everybody thinks, you know, year in, year out, they're going to get to the Super Bowl. They kind of struggled during the season this year, but then they turn it on now. And you talk about Sony Michel. I mean, look at what he's doing as a rookie in the postseason. It seems like Belichick always finds a way. We've been saying it for years to just use his best weapon to exploit your worst, you know, what you do worst. And just talk about the greatness, like, this run right now compared to what they were doing in the regular season, and now it just seems like everything's just continuing to roll. And I don't have any doubt that they'll do the same thing in the Super Bowl. I want to get your thoughts.
No, I'm the Patriots, I think, are a rightful favorite right now. It's, you know, you talked about it. They've been on both sides of the ball. This is the league's 31st ranked rush defense for a reason, and they ran it down the Chiefs' throat and racked up over 160 rushing yards. What did they do on defense? They took away Ty Hill. He had one catch for, I think, 42 yeah. yards, something like that. And that's it. He didn't have an impact otherwise. They let Sammy Watkins beat him deep. Travis Kelce had a touchdown. Damian Williams scores 3 times. But the Chiefs got back into it by without the threat of their best offensive player not named Patrick Mahomes, because the Patriots took him away. And he was a guy also, too, where in the regular season, this last year and the year before in that Week 1 game, where he burned the Patriots for 75-yard touchdowns in each of those two games. And you know, you look at Tom Brady here, it's phenomenal. We're going to – a lot of people despise the Patriots for any number of reasons, and I totally understand why you're going to pick one of five. But at the same time, I think we're going to step back, and 10 years removed, we're going to have a little more reverence for Brady and Belichick than we do now, because I think we tend to – I think it happened in NASCAR a little bit, especially the further removed we get from Jimmy Johnson's 7th title. It's going to happen, I believe, in college football, the further removed we get from Nick Saban and this run that Alabama is on. We're going to view these dynasties in a little bit of a different light. Right now, you want to hate them because they're so good and they're so in the moment. But when you get past that moment, you can really appreciate just how good this is. Because, what, this is Tom Brady's 9th Super Bowl. He's the only Michigan quarterback to start a Super Bowl, and yet here we are with Michigan quarterbacks having the most Super Bowl starts. It's absolutely unreal.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing with Brady. And, all right, so my final question is, and this is the one, like you said, we live in a reactionary state of the sports world. Looking at, you know, if they can scheme up another championship, Belichick and Brady, they're going against the young offensive. You know, we know McVay, he's got all his schemes. Everybody talks about how he can scheme up things. And then they've got a hell of a defensive line with Sue and with Aaron Donald and then Marcus Peters in the secondary. They got it in LaMarcus Joyner, too. They've got a really good team. They can scheme up another. Does Tom Brady not only just go down as the best quarterback of all time, does he go down as one of the best athletes of all time? Can we say that, or do we not give it as much credence because of the duo with him and Belichick?
That's a fantastic question, and I think, you know, if we're going to look at greatest athletes and the impact that they've had on their sport, and we're going to keep it in the American context, I think you almost have to say it's still LeBron James or Michael Jordan, whoever you side with, because of basketball, you have only five players on the court. But if you're going outside of the basketball realm, I think you have an absolutely fantastic argument to make with Tom Brady. I know you can't pin everything on the quarterback. There's 10 other people on the field on his team. But you look at Brady and Belichick, and yes, he's going to go down, I think, as the greatest quarterback of all time in the NFL until somebody tries to somehow beat him when it comes to Super Bowl titles and Super Bowl appearances. And then you've combined him with the best coach of all time. So, I don't know. I wonder, in 20 years, are we going to look at Tom Brady? He's not going to have the legend status or the cult status that Michael Jordan has, but I wonder if we're going to view him in a much greater light than, you know, a lot of people do with Joe Montana, given the way Montana and the 49ers were in the 1980s.
Nick, kind of wrapping it up here. Are you kind of surprised? We're switching to NASCAR here for a minute because we're getting closer, buddy. Kind of surprised the media day type deal is not really going down. I mean, they'll have some sort of, I guess, get together at the shops around the area, but is that somewhat surprising? And then, you know, Fox doing away with like Daytona Day. I mean, what's the reasoning behind all this?
You know, it was a matter of time. You're looking at the dwindling. It's you talk about the dwindling number of media covering NASCAR. It's because the dwindling number of people that are watching it. And so it's a matter of what makes it feasible and what doesn't. And to be quite honest, the preseason media tour, I think, had run its course in NASCAR. For those of us unfamiliar, there were 3 or 4 days they carved out in about this time every year in January. And you'd have press conferences with all the teams. And, you know, it was a little disingenuous to hear guys who would go on and end up finishing 25th in the standings say, hey, well, I think we have a really good shot at making the playoffs this year. Well, no, you actually don't, but it's also something to write about. And I think for the stuff that it did not produce in terms of, you know, what the noteworthy sponsor announcements or unbridled optimism that always got just absolutely shivved 6 weeks into the season, it did provide a little bit of buzz. And now I think right now we're stuck here. As NASCAR is approaching, the Rolex 24 is this weekend, there's still really no palpable sense of, hey, that the season's getting closer. And I think we're going to get that. There's a big test the 31st, I believe, so next week.
Yeah.
Of all of the, there's like going to be 15 cars. Going to test out this new rules package. And it's a big moment. It's a very, very big moment, I think, for NASCAR, because we're in the dearth of NASCAR news right now, but you're going to have guys that are going to need to, I think, show a little bit of that blind optimism that they would normally be showing at media day. Even if this test stinks and the new rules that NASCAR is implementing in 2019, these guys don't like it, if they express those feelings that they don't like it, you're setting NASCAR up entering the season with kind of a dark cloud. But at the same time, are you doing the sport and the series, are you doing it a good service by lying about the test if it goes poorly and you say it goes well? So it's a big, big unknown. Cars are going to be much slower. They're potentially going to be, you know, they're going to be at Vegas. They could be, you know, full throttle around Vegas for a few laps. So it'd be very fascinating to listen to drivers' reactions. I think that's really going to set the stage for once we get 2-3 weeks into the season.
That's fantastic stuff. Nick, we're getting closer, buddy, to me and you having some lunch down in Daytona. So I look forward to it. We're going to pick out a day. We're going to go from
there.
That
sounds good. And I just found out that the legendary Oklahoma Joe's Barbecue, which is kind of it's the half-brother-sister franchise to the legendary Joe's KC Barbecue in Kansas City, they have a location right across the street from the track in Daytona.
Oh, snap. Okay. Well, that things just got more interesting. So I'm getting excited now. The Rolex 24 cars are rolling onto the track right now in the hauler. So we're getting closer, man. We're getting closer. So
we are. You know, if you're a racing geek, this is a fun little off-season hit of adrenaline. AJ Allmendinger is going to actually, I'm kind of interested to watch this. He's got a TV contract with NBC this year.
Yeah.
And he's going to both be driving in the race and broadcasting it. He's going to broadcast it when he's not driving, and then he's doing the overnight stints when he's not broadcasting.
Is he really? He's going to try that?
Yes, he's going to try that. So I'm fascinated to see how it works.
Wow. Okay. Now you've got me even more interested. Nick, thank you so much for joining us, buddy. Tell everybody where they can follow you and your fantastic work.
At Yahoo Sports, at Yahoo Sports CFB on Twitter, at Nick Bromberg on Twitter as well. I'm going to try to take a little bit of time off over the next couple weeks and get recharged for the season, because as you said, we are now less than 4 weeks, I think something like 3.5 weeks, so I am actually physically in Daytona. It doesn't feel like it's real, but it's getting very real.
Okay, well, I might be in the pit crew box having to take over for the 43 and call plays, so I'll let you know how that turns out.
If you need some strategy options, you know where to find me.
God, I'm going to need strategy options now. So we're good. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it, buddy.
No problem.
All right, man. Nick Bromberg from Yahoo Sports joining us. Fantastic interview. If you didn't catch that, that means Bubba Screw Chief decided to leave him without even letting him know. So,
just big
pain in the ass. No, it works out well. Bubba's handled it, and everything's good. So we're moving on. Hey, guess what? Kevin Punter is going to join us next.
Oh man!
Ball hoops.
Let's do it.
Rick Barnes, the Deacon. We're doing it next on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional, Fox Sports Knoxville.
You don't like it?
No, it just he throws me off. Sometimes we get like 80s. Sometimes we get, you know.
This is more like early 2000s.
Copperhead Road. Now we get Eminem. Like, my man over there is going to be a wedding DJ once he gets done with his radio career. So that is what it is. Hey, very excited for our next guest. A player that I think everybody in the state of Tennessee and all over the Southeast really got to know. A few years ago, absolutely fantastic guard for Tennessee, put up some extreme numbers, and it was always fun watching him here. Kevin Punter joins us this afternoon. Kevin, good afternoon to you, buddy. How are you?
How you doing, man? How you doing? Everything's well. Can't complain at all, man. Cannot complain.
So are you still? Are you back from overseas right now? Is that what? Are you on a break or what's going on?
Nah, I'm still in Italy.
He's
in Italy right now.
How are things playing out this season for you?
Everything is going well. I'm leading my team in scoring. We're playing in two European competitions, leading my team in scoring in both. We're winning. We're in first place in a league called Champions League, and we're, I believe, in like the 6th, 7th spot in the Italian league right now in the playoffs, so everything is going well. I can't complain. You know, still working my butt off, doing everything I need to do to be, you know, as best as possible I need to be. So I can't complain. Life for me is going pretty well right now. It's amazing. Can't complain at all.
Talk about everything going well, and you've been working really hard, Kevin. What's been the hardest thing to adjust to in your international career so far?
I would say a little bit of everything, just in terms of living the food, just adjusting to the lifestyle. You know, it's not as fast as the States. You know what I'm saying? The food is different, obviously.
Yeah.
Here, there was a lot of pasta, so that's good. So it's not too hard as, you know, some of the other places I've been. But it hasn't been as bad as you guys would probably think it would be. You know what I'm saying? Apartment is great. Everything is great, you know. What people don't really know is that they take care of the players over here pretty well. So, you know, so for me, it's been a really good experience, me being over here. You know, it's high-level basketball, you know, so it's just everything has just been great for me, man.
You're living in Italy, so it can't be too bad. I wasn't under the impression things would be that bad.
Yeah.
Kind of like the documentary I watched on Marshall Henderson a couple weeks ago where he was living in Iraq. So I kind of think you have it a little bit better.
Like that.
Kevin, I Tennessee achieved something today that you helped start built years ago. Mm-hmm. And when they got that number one ranking yesterday after the hard work that's been put in over the last couple years, can you take me back to when you first got to Tennessee and the impression that Rick Barnes bestowed upon you and how you bought into his system?
I mean, I'm going to just start off by saying my favorite player is Kevin Durant. I used to watch Rick Barnes. You know, I used to watch Rick Barnes when he was at Texas with him. So I wasn't really familiar with his history with him winning in, you know, the Big 12 and him constantly in the tournament trying to get the Final Four appearances. So I wasn't really familiar. So for me, it was a little easier rather than a player that doesn't know. So it's easy when a Hall of Fame coach comes to you and is like, listen, I know what it takes to do this, this and this, where you're trying to get to. And with me working hard and with me putting his knowledge and my hard work together, for me, it was like a no-brainer. So watching these young guys like Admiral and Kyle, guys that I've been with when I was there, I know what those guys go through. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know times has changed, but I know for the most part, the foundation, coach is going to push those guys to work hard. Coaches, you know, zero tolerance for everything. You know, everything has to be, you know, detailed. You know, so now when I see them play and see them being so successful, I know exactly why, because he installed that from his first year when I was there.
Kevin,
so
you
now over time, it's just amazing.
You talk about the foundation. That's what everybody's talked about. You know, I've been watching these guys closely, like you say, from whenever you were there, since Coach Barnes since Tennessee got a steal by getting Coach Barnes on the hill. So you talk about, you know, working hard, and that's what everybody nationally talks about the team now. Like, Tennessee's viewed as this blue collar team, not, you know, just a couple. You know, no Zion Williamsons and, you know, guys like you see the one and duns, Kentucky and Duke or whatnot. But these guys can ball too, and you guys can play. And you talk about working hard. How much of that rubs off from Coach Barnes to players to coaches each day? Not just to you guys, but to the assistant coaches as well.
All the time, because you're constantly around. That's like you being around. That's like a person being lazy. And you're around seven other guys that work their ass off every single day. It's kind of going to rub off like, man, like, being lazy is not the right thing no more. This is not cool no more. So that's kind of how it coaches. He's hard, no, work hard. That's going to rub off on the coaches, because now you're trying to keep up. And I feel like that just rubbed off on the whole entire program. And take hard work out the equation. All these guys are talented. These are some of the best guys coming out of high school. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, not ESPN 1 and 2 and 3. Yeah, okay, cool. But these guys can ball.
Yeah.
These divisions have skill. I've watched these guys play. I've been with Kyle, Lamonte, you know, Adam. I've been with these guys. These guys can ball. Obviously, with Coach Barnes adding the other pieces, you know, but all these guys can hoop individually, team, or everything. So it's not just hard work. Obviously, hard work plays a major role, but I dissect these guys' games, just being over here with nothing to do and just watching these guys' games. These guys have a lot of skill to them. So, you know, you got to cut it out those guys also.
You talk about the skill and the guys, and that's something that, you know, that's very noticeable. And Coach Barnes talks about a lot. He talks about Kyle, talks about Admiral. I think Kyle Alexander is one of the guys from day one to now. He's been one of the most pivotal players on this team and has developed just exponentially from, you know, just from the first time he walked onto the court. Who would you say, I mean, if you're looking at, you know, your former teammates, who have you seen shine the most? Because Admiral, too, I mean, in my opinion, and this is not
Admiral,
a knock on him,
he was
a bruiser when he came, and, you know, he'd do the dirty work in bruiser, but he didn't have the shot that he has now. He's stretched it out, and he can. He's a very versatile scorer now. So who, in your opinion, have you seen take the biggest strides?
I would say Admiral. And the crazy part, it's funny that you say I spoke to Admiral maybe a little less than a month ago. And me and him spoke for about maybe 15 to 20 minutes about everything. And the crazy part is, like, what he's doing right now, I promise you, he used to be in the gym when I was there. He was doing the exact same stuff then, his freshman year. Coach would chew him out. No, Admiral, no, you know what I'm saying? Like, just going through freshman bumps in a row. And it's crazy how now I see him do the exact same stuff, and he looks amazing. But back then, he was doing the same exact thing, the same exact stuff. Yeah, his role was different, but I've really seen how he has grown since his freshman, when I seen him sophomore year. You know what I'm saying, junior?
Yeah.
As time has gone, same thing for Kyle and Lamonte, especially Kyle. I hosted Kyle on his visit, and he was, you know, he was skinny. He was, now I'm looking at him like, now he's finishing above the rim consistently.
Hey.
He's blocking everything.
Hey, he lean.
So
that boy mean now. He cut.
It makes me happy. Exactly.
Nah, he cut now. He cut now.
Looking at these guys when they was young. Yeah, man.
When you, great. Kevin, when you first came into the program, in Tennessee had been through something where previous coach, you know, Donnie Tindall, and just kind of everything surrounding the program. Tennessee, it was hard for the fans to, they wanted to catch a break, and they wanted, I don't think the fan base ever really dwindled. They're always there. But what did, you know, when you're out at restaurants or you're, you know, even you're in the game, you know, what did the Tennessee fan base and what do they mean to you and the support that they gave you guys starting from the ground up to what Coach Barnes is able to build now? How much did that support mean to you back in the day and that carries on to this day right now?
It means a lot. It means a lot. I know times aren't always easy. You know, fans could sometimes be impatient, but Vol Nation is probably probably the best fans in all of NCAA basketball. Yeah, when I was there, times was a little rough, but now they can relax, they can breathe, they can have fun with it because now these guys are on top. But, you know, I'm sorry that it had to take a couple years. You know, it happens like that, but, you know, I just give it up to them just for being patient and just staying down and just staying, you know what I'm saying, staying with those guys. And now, look, you can't tell Vol fans nothing. You can't tell me nothing. So, you know, it paid off. It paid off with being a fan. So now, you know, we're number one. And then a couple seasons ago, we couldn't even get into the tournament.
Nope. So,
and looking at how far this team has come, and there's a lot more to it. And like Chance was saying, you know, talking about the blue collar mentality and talking about this team fighting forward, you know, there was a quote that came out, and it came from Grant, and it's along the lines of, look, and Chris Lofton said this last night when I was talking to him as well, where, you know, okay, the number one ranking is great, okay, it gives the fan base something to be excited about, but we worried about hanging banners. What about that mentality right there? Just talk to us just for a minute about the mentality of a player that, okay, look, we're getting all this positive response from the media and blah, 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 and it's blowing up. But our goal,
blocking out the noise,
is right. Our goal is to hang a banner in this place and not just be ranked number one for 2 weeks.
Exactly. No, it's huge. That shows a sign of maturity. Most immature guys are always ranked number one in the country. Okay, let's party, let's relax a little bit. No, Grant mindset is that's all well and cool, but let's understand our bigger picture. Our bigger picture is hanging a banner up. You don't get a banner up for being a number one team in the country. You get a banner up for SEC titles, NCAA tournament titles. So to have that mindset, that shows me where that team is at. You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys are all dialed in. Like, yo, we still don't have enough respect. Let's keep making some noise. Let's hang some banners up. And I'm here for it. So that just shows me, like, okay, these guys are dialed in. These guys are locked in. So it's gonna be a great, you know, a great year for these guys, man.
Kevin, talking about, you know, just to go back to you for a little bit, you know, we all hope for a great year for the Vols. What's next for you outside of international play? Do you want to try to, I mean, I'm sure it's probably always been a dream, you want to try to make a jump, maybe get in the G League, try to try out for some teams in the NBA. What's going to be next for you? Are you comfortable with the international?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I'm definitely comfortable, but obviously, you know, my number one dream is being back home in the States. I spoke to my agent a couple of days ago. You know, I have some things that, you know, me and him spoke about in terms of just trying to get back into the league and trying to see what's the best situation. Last year I was with Orlando. I was in a mini camp. So, you know, NBA stuff always, you know, approaches the table around this time and around, you know, once the European season is coming to an end. So that's just something I got to just handle once that time gets closer around, you know, April and May, around that time. So.
Kevin,
so for sure, that's definitely the goal. You know, I don't work like this just to
try to get back to the
States. Just to exactly. You know, that's the main goal.
And we hope you make it, man, and continue on in Flores. And last question for you, Kevin, and I sure appreciate you joining us talking about Coach Barnes. How much does he make it a family atmosphere between the players, and you see this team and how much they've bonded together, and this team just looks different from others around the country. I can't put my finger on it, and I've covered different teams around the country, and you know, this team has something about it where it seems like Coach Barnes has brought this group together, and they are one. How big a deal was that for Coach Barnes for finding the leaders on the squad and making them put their teammates in that position to grow as one?
Huge. To be honest with you, that's probably one of the hardest things to do. I feel like is to have a bunch of 13 to 14 guys buy in. Because naturally you deal with all the best kids coming out of high school. Everyone has ego and everyone has, I was the best player here and there. So for a coach, that's a hard job. But I feel like Coach Barnes has done an amazing job in not killing everyone's egos, but having everyone understand, like, we all can be great players if we all stick together. And we all going to outshine. But I feel like he does a great job with dealing with each and everyone's personalities and, you know, making it all come together.
That's fantastic stuff. Kevin Punter, I sure appreciate you joining us, buddy. I wish you the best of luck the rest of the season over in Italy, and I hope we can have you on sometime again before the end of the college basketball year.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you guys so much.
Kevin, be blessed, buddy. Thank you appreciate so much it, for Kevin. Joining us.
You too. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you. Kevin Punter, former Tennessee point guard, fantastic interview, just really getting into the inside of what's going on with this basketball team and everything that he went through, and he started this thing up with Coach Barnes, and it's good to see him flourish over in Italy right now, playing international ball and making a good buck. So we appreciate him joining us. We'll have that interview up here in just a little bit. Thanks to Brandon for putting out all the quotes out of it and cutting up the interview. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll wrap up the first hour. This is It's Optional, and we're on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's Optional, Fox Sports Knoxville, rolling along here and wrapping up the first hour. Truly appreciate Kevin Punter Jr. coming on.
Why'd you sound so sad wrapping up the first hour there for a second? Coming back,
wrapping up the first hour.
No, just that was a good interview. No, we knocked really that one interview out the parks. I don't do a lot of this, you know, humble bragging, patting myself on the back. But damn, we did a damn good job with that one.
No, that was a fun interview.
Sometimes you got to take a victory lap, Trey.
It's fun. Yeah. He's living in Italy. Like, he's not even living. Like I go back to that. I keep going back to that Marshall Henderson thing on Vice, where he was living in Iraq. And I was like, Kevin's living in Italy. Like, it's not, you know, not too terribly bad, probably.
Well, not the worst. Like you said, yeah, I'd probably adjust to the, you know, the language barrier and just the style of living.
Or they pay you in, like, straight cash, too.
Straight cash, homie. But, yeah, he sounds like he's having a good time, working hard, trying to get back over to the States, get to the association. That's what most of those guys' dreams are. So we'll be looking out for OKP and wish him the best and hope he does make an appearance back over here.
To the G League.
Stateside.
Be interested to see how.
Yeah, probably get a G League. Like you said, he said he was in the Orlando Magic's mini camp. We've seen Jarnell Snokes.
Hobson.
Yeah, Scotty Hobson was in the Mavericks camp for a while, and I thought he was actually going to get signed. He might be in the G League now.
I think he went to Oklahoma City.
But, yeah, a lot of those guys, man, you just get over here, get that tryout, get a G League, and now the G League has those two-way contracts where you can play in the NBA and on the G League side and get the constant exposure. They can call you up, like, you know, sporadically how they do it, get those 10-day contracts.
It's like hockey minor leagues.
Yeah. It's really good. They're growing it. So we'll be looking for KP. I hope he does make it back.
Yeah, no, he was a good shooter. I hate that
hell of a score.
I think it was his last year ended because of a fracture in his foot.
Yeah.
Injuries. Couldn't play. No. So that was, but man, yeah, it's cool to get these guys back on and have them talk about something that they built from scratch because, man, it was a complete change up once, you know, Donnie was out. It's like, oh, okay, Rick Barnes is going to build this thing back up. And look, not a lot of people gave Rick Barnes any kind of shot at building anything at Tennessee. And I think it just goes to show you with somebody like Kevin Punter, in the way he acts. And even like a T.J. Ford, who he coached at Texas. You know, it just kind of shows you the men that he's turning these guys into. Interesting enough, looks like we'll have T.J. Ford on Friday with us, which will be a fun interview. For some reason, I've always wanted to interview T.J. Ford. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because I watched him at Texas. But I look forward to doing that on Friday. Yeah, so that should be fun.
That'd be nice.
Brandon's Heisman Trophy campaign starting guy from Missouri, Drew Locke, is at the Senior Bowl right now. And he is already interviewed with several teams. The Dolphins are included in that. So I'm excited. Me and TJ were talking, and we were kind of wondering where Brandon's boy would end up next year in the NFL. So I'm excited to see where he goes, Brandon. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really disappointed I haven't been invited to the draft yet. So still looking for that. But, I mean, what can I say?
He's going to be the first quarterback
taken. I don't know if he'll go to the draft.
He didn't make the cut.
He'll go to the draft. He's a quarterback.
I know, but you don't want the Aaron Rodgers moment, man.
They don't care about that anymore.
Yeah.
Past that.
They don't care about chilling for 3 hours and not getting drafted?
Do it.
Well, they've sped it up a lot since when Aaron Rodgers was going through.
Good point. They had like 20 minutes in between. Yeah, okay. I agree with you on that. We'll come back in the second hour. Chris Lee from VandySports.com is going to join us. We'll have news of the day. We'll talk about the craziness going on all around the world. I don't care what it is. It's optional. We're rolling on Fox Sports Knoxville.